How we doing there, Robert? Good to go? All right. Thank you. All right. We're going to get right into the message today. Actually, I need to preface it with this. I am thrilled to have an October like we are having so far. This time of year makes me sad when I have to blow out my sprinkler system and I have to clean my chimney and I have to put my pool away. And I don't like that at all. And I hang on as long as I possibly can. I got into my pool the first time in May this year, and I actually got in my pool two days ago. And it's 58 degrees, so I did not spend much time in my pool. But it's just kind of sad. I love the weather, the getting cooler, but I know what lies ahead. That dirty old man winter. So if any of you have a house in Arizona that you would let me stay at for the next couple months, I'd be more than thrilled to take you up on that blessing, because I don't want to rob you of a blessing. Amen? All right, we're going to start our message here today. It's the Fall Festivals Part 2. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, it said, God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. In Leviticus 23, 1, 2, and 4, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed festivals, the appointed festivals of the Lord which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies. These are the Lord's appointed festivals, the sacred assemblies you are to proclaim at their appointed time. Appointed time in Hebrew is Moedim. And these are sacred things that God says you are to follow these things every single year because they mean something and they will remind you that I am God so that I can be your God and you will be my people. So every year they would repeat these things over and over and over again. And these things were followed by Jesus himself. And the festivals that God appointed are Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, Pentecost, or Shavuot, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. So these were the seven that God declared. Now there are a lot of other festivals or sacred assemblies followed by Jewish people. You'll see Hanukkah, it looks like Chanukah, and you'll see some other ones as well. But these are the seven that God gave to the Israelite people. The first four are the spring festivals. Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of First Fruits, and Pentecost. Then there is a time between the spring harvest and the fall harvest. And then that is when they celebrate the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Last week, we looked at the spring festivals, and it is simply an unraveling of God's plan for redemption of mankind. Who he's going to send to be the redeemer of all mankind. And these are only shadows of the things that are to come. We have a tendency sometimes to worship the created as opposed to the creator. And if you begin to focus on these things and lose the true meaning of what they are, they don't do any good. They point forward to a Messiah that is going to redeem all of mankind. Now, according to traditional Judaism, a 30-day period of repentance is observed in spiritual preparation for the high holidays or the fall festivals. So they take the full month of Elul and they use it as a time to repent, to turn back to God, getting ready for these fall high festivals, these fall high holidays. So they're getting themselves prepared for what is coming. And the first one is the Festival of Trumpets. In Leviticus chapter 23, verse 24, it says, "Say to the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh month, you are to have a day of Sabbath rest, a sacred assembly commemorated with trumpet blasts." Trumpet blasts are throughout the entire scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament. They announce something, or they're used as a warning for something. In Leviticus chapter 25, 9, it says, "Then have the trumpet sounded everywhere on the 10th day of the seventh month. On the Day of Atonement, sound the trumpet throughout the land." So there's a trumpet blast that starts or kicks off the fall festivals. And then 10 days later, during the Day of Atonement, which is also called Yom Kippur, they have another blast that announces what is happening. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 16, "On the morning of the third day," and this is when God showed up to the Israelites for the very first time on Mount Sinai. "On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled." So they see this incredible sight. They've never seen this before. But they see this incredible sight of God descending on Mount Sinai. And part of it is thunder and lightning. Part of it is a trumpet blast. And I can imagine they're wondering, where is that sound coming from? They were laying their eyes on the God that had delivered them from Egypt for the very first time. And it says that they trembled, as would we. I love these modern day people that said that they've seen Jesus or they've seen an angel of God and they were just kind of chilling and, you know, no. You read your Bible, people that see an angel, they hit the deck. They're flat on their face. So if that's not your response, I guarantee you that ain't an angel. Amen? So there was a trumpet blast at Jericho when the walls fell. The trumpets were used as a battle cry to summon the army to gather and to fight. There were also trumpets used when they coronated or crowned a new king. So it was a very important part of their society. In the Old Testament, in Joel chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming." When it says the day of the Lord, it means the final day when the Messiah would return. That is the day of the Lord. There will be a trumpet sound, and we will hear it. It says when he returns, everyone will see it. Well, I guarantee you, right before it happens, there's going to be a loud trumpet sound. So take heed. In the New Testament, in Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, it says, "But in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants, the prophets." Everything that happens in Revelation, and people that come to me and say, "Why don't you teach on Revelation? Why don't you teach on Revelation?" The reason I haven't taught on Revelation is because I don't believe you should even dive into Revelation until you thoroughly study Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, and Ezekiel. Because they tell about what is to come. Revelation is nothing more than the fulfillment of everything that has been written before it. And if you are not a mature Christian, that's probably the last place you should start. In Revelation, because you're going to be freaked out and wonder what in the world is going on here. Well, God laid it all out in the Old Testament. So start in the beginning so that you know, because he left us breadcrumbs in the scriptures so that we would know when a false teacher comes We know when a false prophet comes. Because when they say something that does not align with the scriptures, that's how you know. There's a group out there called the Apostolic Reformation. And they believe that they are super apostles. And they are prophesying things that are not in the scriptures. And they believe that they have certain revelation that God has given them above and beyond the original writers of the New Testament. It's a new revelation. And they lead thousands of people astray with bad doctrine. We need to know and be able to know and recognize these people when they show up. Because a lot of what they say sounds really good. But you get to that little part that is a lie, there's a problem. So we are to be ready. We are to understand. Jesus said to his disciples right before he left them, watch and pray. Be alert. And part of that warning will be a trumpet blast. So if you go into your calendars, you probably are not going to see the Festival of Trumpets listed. What you will see is Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year. And you need to understand that it is the civil calendar. It is not the calendar that God gave to the Israelites. It is one that the Jewish people made up themselves. So Rosh Hashanah is their new year. And the main focus of the Festival of Trumpets is teshuva, or the returning to God through repentance. According to Jewish tradition on Rosh Hashanah, the destiny of the righteous are written in the book of life, and the destiny of the wicked are written in the book of death. However, most people will not be written in either book, but they have 10 days to repent before sealing their fate. These 10 days are called the 10 days of awe, and they end on the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, when your name will be sealed in either the book of life or the book of death. So they believe that the Festival of Trumpets sounds a 10-day period where your lot in life will be determined, whether or not you will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life or you will be banished to everlasting darkness. So those 10 days of awe are a time of teshuvah, of returning to God, repenting of the things that you've done in the past, and making sure that you are ready for the Day of Atonement that is coming, because that is when your fate will be sealed. Does that make sense? So in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." That is the epitome of the Old Testament. God wanted his people to return to him. He wanted their relationship to be restored. And it comes from repentance. In the New Testament, in Acts chapter 3:19, "Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." You see, it hasn't changed. In the Old Testament, God wanted people to repent and turn back to him. In the New Testament, he's still saying the very same thing: repent and return to me. There is the day coming, the day of the Lord. And it says that we are to be ready for that. Jesus had the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 of them were all waiting for the bridegroom to return, but they didn't know when he was going to come. And so they had their lamps, and some of them made sure that they had extra oil for their lamps, and 5 of them did not. They had just enough oil in their lamp to get them through so many days. Well, the bridegroom didn't show up until a lot later. And then the announcement came that the bridegroom was coming. And the five virgins that had extra oil were able to find their way. Where the five virgins that didn't have enough oil were left behind. There are a lot of people say, if you go onto YouTube and you could, you just type in end days, last of days, the day of the Lord, and you're going to find all kinds of things pop up. Oh, it's happening in June of 2024. Well, they might have should have taken that post down, because I don't recall a trumpet blast and Jesus coming back. You'll find all kinds of things. False prophets saying, this is the day. Watch out, this is the day. He's coming back by this day. All of the prophecies have been fulfilled in the Old Testament, and it can happen tomorrow. No, it can't, because not all the prophecies have happened yet. We're getting close. We're probably about 83, 84% fulfilled. It is getting close. But when someone says this is when he's coming back and gives you a date, he's a liar. He's a liar. Because Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour. You'll know the season by what's going on, but you don't know the date or the hour. And I love how many times I've seen in my 25 years of existence, how many times I've seen or had a flyer put on my car. 88 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 88. Watch out for this day. He's coming back on this day. It's garbage. It's absolute garbage. It gets people focusing on the wrong things. Be ready. Have a repentant heart. Walk in that. We shouldn't need 10 days or a month of repentance and then 10 days of awe. We should live our lives in 365 days of awe. That is a true, mature Christian. You don't need a sacred assembly to rally you to repentance. It should be a part of your daily life. Because I don't know about you, I screw up every single day. I know that is so hard to believe. But it is true. Just ask my wife. So traditionally, people prepare for Rosh Hashanah through three kinds of turning. Turning to God, turning to others we have harmed or offended, and turning to those in need. It is a big time of taking care of the poor as well. Yes, please. He saw my tongue sticking to the roof of my mouth. Thank you, Brandon. All right, let's move on to the Festival of Atonement. Your calendar will say Yom Kippur. And it is considered the holiest day of the Jewish year. So we're going to go back in Leviticus and see exactly what God said about the Festival of Atonement. Leviticus chapter 16, verses 29 through 34. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. On the 10th day of the 7th month, you must deny yourselves and do not do any work, whether native-born or foreigner residing among you. Because on this day, atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. Then before the Lord, you will be clean from all your sins. It is a day of Sabbath rest, and you must deny yourselves. It is a lasting ordinance. The priest who is anointed and ordained to succeed his father as high priest is to make atonement. He is to put on the sacred linen garments and to make atonement for the most holy place, for the tent of meeting and the altar, and for the priests and all the members of the community. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. Atonement is to be made once a year for all the sins of the Israelites, and it was done as the Lord commanded Moses. There was only one time a year that the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. It was on this day, the Day of Atonement. And first he would sacrifice a bull for himself and his sins, And then he would sacrifice and go into the most holy of holies for the sins of all the people. That's how it worked. In Leviticus chapter 16, verses 5 through 10, from the Israelite community, he is to take two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the wilderness as a scapegoat. Verses 20 through 22. When Aaron has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting, and the altar, he will bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all of their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the wilderness in the care of someone appointed for the task. And the goat will carry on itself all their sins to a remote place, and the man shall release it in the wilderness. So we have a man that is going to take the scapegoat, which is where we get that name, the scapegoat, and he is the high priest places his hands on the head of that goat and confesses all the sins of the people. And he made sure that he was very thorough because he did not want to forget any of those sins. And then the man would take the goat who had all the sins of Israel placed upon it and take it out into the wilderness and leave it there. How long do you think that goat lasted in the wilderness? Not very long before it was torn to shreds. But it was a way that God made for him to be restored to his people by casting the sins of the people onto an innocent animal that had nothing to do with the sins of the people. In Isaiah 53, verse 7, if you've never read Isaiah 53, read it. It is incredible. It talks about the Messiah who is to come and what he was going to go through. He says in Isaiah 53, verse 7, that, and he's talking about the Messiah. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. We move forward into Acts chapter 38, verse 2, where it says that he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before a shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Jesus fulfilled the prophecy in Isaiah when he was led like a sheep to the slaughter. In Matthew says that Jesus was led out of the city. The scapegoat was led out of the city. And Jesus took upon him all the sins of all mankind, just like the scapegoat did. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, he will have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the world. If we go back and look at the list of the festivals, can we pull that up, Colton, please? We've studied this list. It starts with the Passover lamb, where a lamb was sacrificed and his blood was shed. To protect people from the destroyer. Jesus was the Lamb of God. John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You see, the blood of the Lamb in Egypt just covered over sins. Jesus, the true sacrificial Lamb, removed sins. Amen? The festival of unleavened bread, the whole focus is on the unleavened part because leaven represents sin. And it says in the New Testament that Jesus was without sin. The Feast of First Fruits, when Jesus rose from the dead, they would take a grain offering and take it to the temple, the first fruits, the first of the crop, and make a wave offering and offer it to the Lord. On that very same day that they were supposed to do that, Jesus rose from the dead as a feast of first fruits, the first of those to come. And if you read that account, when Jesus rose from the dead, he was the first fruits, but there were other graves that opened up after Jesus rose, and dead people walked out of those graves. They were the first fruits of the first fruits. And you point ahead to when Jesus comes back, there is going to be an incredible harvest, a fulfillment of the first fruits. You see, you mark the first of the crop, and you offered it as a small portion of a harvest, trusting that the bigger harvest was going to come. And it will come. It will come. Then we have Pentecost or Shavuot. And God said, I am no longer going to write my law on tablets of stone, but I'm going to write it on the minds and the heart of my people, which means the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The advocate, the one that Jesus promised he would send, a counselor. You see, when you accept Jesus, that word now dwells in you as a fulfillment of the prophecy. And the time frame between the Pentecost and the Feast of Trumpets is the summertime. We spiritually now are in the midst of that summertime. We are living in that time. And that time was work, making sure the crops were good, making sure this was ready, and getting ready for the real work that was about to come. Have any of you ever bucked bales? Oh, Lord, have mercy. It's one of the worst things I've ever done. That and sheetrock. They're about the same. Dust, except the dust is white in sheetrock instead of brown from the hay bales. But it's a terrible, absolutely terrible. And I think everyone should have to do it once. Because you would appreciate life more when you spend a day unloading a truck full of hay bales. Holy smoke. And I have asthma. So it's dust everywhere. So I can't breathe. I was a spindly little bugger, and I could barely lift these bales up high enough to chuck them. And my body hurt so bad. It was awful. But that's the work that's coming right before Jesus comes back. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up because I'm going to wait on the Feast of Tabernacles because there's a lot in that. It's absolutely incredible. It shows us God's plan of redemption so that we shouldn't be surprised. We are in a time where we need to be prepared because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know when it's going to happen. But when it does, it's going to take everything. And it's going to take mature Christians to get through a lot of that. We need to be able to stand firm. We need to be able to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is His Word. Because I guarantee you, the enemy knows how to wield that sword. He twists it, but he knows it. He knows it. So here at New Hope Christian Center, I want to make sure that we're ready. Doing everything we can to help prepare you to stand firm in the days as they grow darker and darker. And it's amazing to me that it can get darker than it is right now. Things are just, and the Bible said, what is considered right will be wrong, and what is considered wrong will be right. And that's exactly where we're at right now. Everything has just been flipped upside down. And Jesus said, they will hate you, but remember, they hated me first. I don't know if you've ever turned on the news, but there seems to be an awful lot of Christian bashing going on out there. And you know what? There are a lot of people who call themselves Christians who deserve that bashing. They're playing the game, putting up a front, yet there's really nothing different about them. They act just like the world does. We're called to be different. We're called to be a light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. But when we accept him, that light moves into us. And we're supposed to show that light, even when we're being persecuted. Even to people that you don't like. Even to people that you don't agree with. Even to people who are demanding that you believe the same way that they do. We're called to be different. And the only way we can do that is if we truly have the Spirit living in us and allow the Spirit to move through us instead of squelching the Spirit. Let him use us according to his purposes, according to his plans. The days aren't going to get brighter, people. They're not going to get brighter. They're just going to continue to get darker and darker and darker. How are you going to handle that? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I know it's not culturally cool, and I don't give a rip. I cleaned that up for you people. Standing firm in the last days is paramount. And I love it says, when you have done all else, stand. Sometimes we can't do anything but stand. And that's all he says we need to do. He will give us the ability to take on whatever it is that he has for us. He has already put into you everything that you need to be successful and victorious as a disciple of Jesus Christ. We just need to make sure that we are focusing on growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Period. Period. Amen. So take that with you, and whatever that next step is that God has for you, walk out in it. It might not be very comfortable. In fact, I guarantee you it's not going to be comfortable. Because there's nowhere in this scripture that God says, I just want you to be happy and comfortable. Well, he sure gave his son the shaft. And all the prophets in the Old Testament and all the people that decided that they were going to walk in him, there's not one of them that lived a cheery existence. It was all fat and happy. Just, whoo, take me now, Lord. No. It got brutal. It got brutal. And a lot of them stumbled and fell. Guess what? You're going to stumble and you're going to fall. But if you're plugged into a fellowship where you have brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas are there to help you up. What an incredible thing. Because when you fall and you're in the world and you're of the world, they just kick you and walk on top of you. Here at New Hope, we are called to be encouragers of one another. We are called to lift one another up. We are called to reach out. We are called to help. And that's what we're going to do. I love how many people are staying in touch with some of the people that can't make it to church anymore. I love some of the people that have gone up and visited with Shirley up in Sandpoint. That's incredible. That's what it's about. It's not about what goes on inside these four walls. It's what goes on after you take this outside these four walls. And how you walk it, how you live it, how you walk it out in your lives. That's where the rubber meets the road. Everyone looks perfect inside these four walls. No problems, everything's fine. Wrong. And it's okay. It is okay to go through a rough stretch. It is okay to be depressed or discouraged as long as you don't stay there. Because that is not God's will for your life. He's called each and every one of us to be victorious, to be effective, to walk out and be obedient to the things that He has given us. And not be turned or swayed or tempted by the culture around us. Stand firm. That is my prayer for us today. Stand firm. Amen. Please stand.
Whatever needs you're believing for, do we just believe together today? Can we say, you've already made a way? Maybe I don't know what the way is, but you've already made a way. And you know, Jesus says, I'm the way. And so I think He's trying to keep it simple. As I follow Him, the Good Shepherd, He leads me. He leads me to the way for me. So whatever need you have, whatever unknown is there for you or a loved one, the answer is following the Good Shepherd, because He knows the way. He knows the place He's prepared. And ultimately, I get that by just keeping my eyes on Him, keeping my ears tuned into His voice. And so as we're singing this, let's just give Him those needs. Let's give Him those unknowns. And let's speak just faith over them. That He's already made a way. He already knows. He already knows the direction. He already knows all the plans He has. The plans that He's prepared for us in advance. The good works that we're supposed to do. He's already written the book of our life. And I'm not going to get to those plans unless I'm on His heels. I'm listening for His voice. Amen? Let's just sing that one more time. The chorus.
There's a part of scripture that I just absolutely love. And it's a story where Jesus has this man come up and his daughter is either sick or dying, and he asks, if you could, Lord, heal her. And Jesus basically responds, if I could. What do you mean, if I could? Don't you believe? He said, his response was just perfect. I do believe. Help me with my unbelief. What an incredible place to be. That even when we're struggling in certain areas, being real with God, you might as well, because He knows your thoughts, so you ain't hiding anything from Him. He knows what's deep down in your core. And the guy just says, I do believe, but help me with that little part of unbelief that I'm struggling with. And Jesus does not put him down. He does not ridicule him. He said, go. It's been done. I've taken care of it. If you get to the point where you're wavering or questioning, or you got that little bit of unbelief in the back of your heart, take it to Him. said, Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Amen. As a shepherd, it is my responsibility to teach, to encourage, and to pass on to you my studies. And I was in the studies of when I was studying the Feast of Unleavened Bread and what leaven actually meant. It represents sin, and we're supposed to get rid of that sin in our lives. And so I did some more digging, and the actual Hebrew word for sin is peeps. I just received these today. You see, peeps just used to be a part of Easter. Now it is infiltrating every holiday that we have, like sin in the Bible. And my Bible says, get rid of sin. If you have these in your house, get rid of them. Or blow them up in the microwave. That's fun. But do not ingest sin and let it become a part of who you are. You're welcome, people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. But you are such a good God. Even when we falter, even when we stumble, you are there to pick us up. You are the lifter of our heads. You are the one that lights a lamp unto our feet and the path that you have chosen for us. You have not called us to stumble in darkness, to be victorious. Lord, it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. I pray that you would give us the strength to continue on, to encourage one another, so that we may be effective servants as we are called by you for your purposes and your plans. We thank you, Heavenly Father. Pray that you would dismiss us with your blessings. And everybody said, amen. You're dismissed. Have a great day.